Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another broadcast of Hear No Evil here at blogtalkradio.com. Call in the show right now. I'm on the air, your host, Darlene Lewis, Mean and Lean, some of them call me now that I've lost all that weight. Call me now, 213-943-3736. Tonight's topic, women images in media. Now, as more and more reality stars are created, images of women have become increasingly negative. There are really programs that show women as mere money-thirsty shopaholics with synthetic weaves, fake boobs, and bottoms. The men are rarely seen in most of these reality shows, and when they are seen, the men appear weak, subservient, or criminal-minded. Movies are depicting women of color as lonely, overeducated, extremely successful beings, too arrogant or powerful to have a family. The women behind the independent lens is fighting for a platform to promote all aspects of womanhood. Today, we will focus on the images in media and how women can become more responsible in presenting themselves to the masses. You can also call in my show mostly on Thursdays, but tonight, being that it is the day after Thanksgiving, we decided to give you female power on a Friday. So call in the show right now, 213-943-3736. I also want to talk to you about health because a lot of times people think that when you're fit and trim, that means that you're healthy, but that may not always be the case. For instance, I'm going to use myself as an example because I don't like using other people if they're not in the same room. Now, I used to be 175 pounds. That was like 2 years ago. I'm now down to 163. I may be even 160. However, I'm 5'8". My size 2 years ago was a 14. Now I can fit some 10-11. Why did I lose that weight? Well, I was diagnosed with stage 2 diabetes. Now, I know how I got my diabetes. I know that it was those cream sodas that I was freezing. I was addicted, and some of you know me. I used to freeze everything and then eat the ice because I just enjoyed sodas so much. But then I realized it wasn't just the soda. At the time that I was a vegetarian, I increased my carbs, which meant that I was eating a lot of rice, I was eating a lot of potatoes, a lot of macaroni and cheese, because you know I love to get down on my macaroni and cheese. But I was eating 2 and 3 starches at a time. Now, starch turns into sugar. A lot of people don't notice. Now, even though I wasn't eating white bread, I was still eating wheat bread, I was still eating rye bread. So all of that, coupled with the fact that I was sitting down most of the time while I was eating and working and not really exercising the way I used to because I was in a car accident, so I wasn't able to run, you know, those mornings that I used to run walking my dog. So when I was diagnosed with diabetes, it reminded me of a coworker and how she used to have to stop and take insulin and this and that. And then she went and got lipo or something like that. And I said, oh, no, I just did not know. I can't. I just cannot do the needle thing. So I decided to change my diet. And let me tell you something, guys. It has been very, very hard. It is extremely hard to stop eating French fries and rice and macaroni and all of these good starches that we love. But let me tell you, you have to live, and you cannot eat to live. You have to eat healthy. You have to remember that diabetes is really serious, especially in America, because people are so overweight. You know, the BMI is a big fat scam. Let me tell you, body mass index is used to sell weight loss drugs, set insurance premiums, and counsel patients. There's just one little problem. It wasn't so long ago that fat people were considered healthy. Doctors were far more worried about underweight Americans. Many of them were too poor to afford enough calories. But as farms industrialized and food became cheaper, the tables began to turn. Shortly after World War II, it became clear that eating too much food led to just as many problems as not eating enough. Insurance companies noticed. And I don't believe it was just insurance companies, but insurance companies noticed that their fattest policyholders were significantly more likely to die early than those of the average weight. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Okay, did you think enough? They searched for a way to measure excess fat and hit upon a simple formula developed in 1832 by a Belgian statistician, mathematician, and astronomer named Adolphe Quetelet. And I hope I said his name right because I've been practicing that name all day. Simply divide a person's weight by the square of his weight. This formula, known as body mass index or BMI, spread from insurers to health researchers, and finally in the 1980s, entered the clinical realm. Today, BMI is still one of the most commonly used measures of health. When primary care physicians record your weight and height, as required by law, the electronic record they see displays your BMI. Insurance companies use it to set premiums. A 2013 report from the provider of e-health insurance found that people with BMIs in the obese category pay 22% more on average than those in the normal range. Doctors typically use BMI to advise their patients. If you're below 18.5, you're underweight. 18.5 to 24.9 is normal. 25 to 29.9 is overweight. And 30 plus is obese. But there's just one problem. A higher BMI doesn't necessarily mean that you're less healthy. Well, in fact, patients with heart disease and metabolic disorders whose BMI classified them as overweight or widely obese survive longer than their normal and underweight peers. Now, I've been studying this, like I said, because the fact that I was diagnosed and that I was told that I need to lose weight. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. I liked my hips. I liked my thighs. I didn't like them rubbing together, but I did like the way I was looking. I don't particularly like this Slim Jim look. It was cute when I was in my teens, but I don't particularly like this size. But to be honest, it's all about how you control your pattern of eating. So my nutritionist, yes, I have a nutritionist, told me that instead of me having a half a plate of rice with my food, I should have a half a plate of vegetables and then like a handful of rice and then like some protein. So I do eat chicken and fish, and that works for me. But I'm going to tell you something. The appetite has not gone away. I still have a massive appetite. I still crave for those sweets. And another thing, guess what? I didn't know. I did not know And I, you know, I should have known this. But I did not know that red velvet is really chocolate cake with food coloring. I went to the doctor because I was having an allergic reaction every time I ate red velvet. Now, anybody that knows me knows I love me some red velvet cake. I am allergic to chocolate. Yes, can you imagine? I'm allergic to chocolate. Anyway, I go to the doctor. I tell them what I ate. They tell me, why are you eating the red velvet if you're allergic to chocolate? So at that point, I didn't know. Like, I am so upset that for years I was trying to figure out why I kept getting sick every time I ate red velvet cake. It's because it is food coloring on it, so it's chocolate. So I have to stop eating red velvet cake. So now I'm down to the lemon cake, but I love lemon cake, but I have to eat it in moderation. Instead of eating a slice, I have to eat a third of the slice. So everything that you eat when you're diabetic, you can still eat it, but you just can't eat as much of it. And that's the thing that's bothering me. A lot of times when you watch TV, especially these reality shows, you'll see women protruding out of their clothes. Some of the stuff they have on, it's very tight. And then you think, oh, they are so built. Oh, they live in the South. They're eating good. Ladies, let me tell you something. If you're living in the South and you still have that same mentality of the slave master, you know, where the slave master would throw the scraps to the slaves and they would eat a whole bunch of swine and a whole lot of fattening foods, I'm going to tell you something right now. Your clothes are looking too small for you, and you need to get it together and wear more looser clothes and work on your diet. I'm noticing on television that a lot of time women are eating and drinking, and you never see them exercising on these television shows. They're always whining and dining, and you guys too. You guys are no different. I want you guys to start taking better care of yourselves. And the way you look on TV, you look like you are living in excess. And it's nothing wrong with being able to eat, but eat healthy. Eat abundantly, but eat healthy. I've been working on my diabetes for a long time. And, well, it hasn't been that long. It's only been 2 years. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. I have to check my sugar levels every day. I have to take metformin in the morning after I eat and in the evening after I eat. And I have to do that for the rest of my life. So I am working on becoming a former diabetic. I want you guys to be healthy. I'm also asthmatic. Oh, my God, I have asthma. But I only have asthma that's triggered by certain things. Now, the health department in Montefiore Medical Center, with support from New York's Robin Hood Foundation, the New York State Health Foundation, and the Fund for Public Health of New York, are collaborating on a new study to help improve children's health by evaluating how their asthma improves when cockroaches and mice are reduced through safe pest control in homes. Pests are a known asthma trigger, so this study is seeking low-income children in the Bronx, New York, ages 5 to 12, who suffer from persistent asthma and are living in homes with pests. Health First and Affinity, among the largest pediatric health insurers in the Bronx, are partnering with the research team, providing recruitment support and healthcare utilization data as part of the evaluation. Now, this study is the first of its kind to look at how health outcomes can be improved by providing a one- or two-visit safe and effective pest control for children with asthma. This study is intended to build a healthy and economic case for safe pest control as health intervention. The research aims to demonstrate to health insurance how basic and inexpensive safe pest control can reduce costly and traumatic hospitalization and emergency department visits for children with asthma. Did you know that asthma is the most common chronic childhood disease, affecting more than 177,000 New York City children younger than 12? While asthma hospitalizations are decreasing overall in New York City, some of the highest rates of asthma-related emergency departments visits and hospitalizations are among children in the Bronx. In 2009, 8.3% of children aged 0 to 12 in the Bronx suffered an asthma attack in the past. According to Parents Report, a rate 38% higher than the citywide average. In 2012, three South Bronx neighborhoods had the highest rates of asthma hospitalizations among 5 to 14-year-olds. Now, I'm going to tell you something. By working in the Bronx as a ranger, how can I put this without sounding bushy? The Bronx is filthy. I'm going to be real. Some parts of the Bronx, well, 98% of the Bronx is disgusting, and I'm going to tell you why. A lot of it comes from the fact that a lot of industry is in the Bronx. Another factor is there are a lot of restaurants in the Bronx that have a lot of business trash. Then you have a lot of people that come from other places that come and live in the Bronx, and they pick up this New York habit of littering. They throw things on the street. The garbage can could be a foot or two away, and they will still throw stuff out the window. I've been behind cars on a highway where people will throw stuff out of the window. Then you have a lot of people smoking, you know, throwing cigarette butts. Then you have a lot of alcoholics, a lot of drug use. The bathrooms in public places aren't clean. People aren't as clean as they used to be in the past. And it's a culture, it may be a cultural thing. It's just a thing where I feel that people that don't pay taxes don't fight for sanitation to come in their neighborhoods to clean. And so you'll have an abundance of garbage hanging out in front of where people live, where people eat. And this goes on and on and on and on, and no one seems to care about it. So get it together, New York City. You can learn a lot from other places. Like, I love Virginia. I frequent there a lot. And I'm going to tell you something. There are some parts of Virginia that don't even have garbage cans on the corner, but you will not see litter on the ground. Please give me a call, 213-943-3736. I want to talk to you about women images in media. I want to discuss I want to discuss the Ferguson case, but a lot of people are still in Thanksgiving mode and they don't feel like talking. I want to talk to you guys about the 12-year-old kid that got shot by police because someone called the 911 stating that a child was flashing a gun, which turned out to be a pellet BB gun. I want to talk about the cop that was afraid, he and his partner, and they walked in some pink houses, which are projects in Brooklyn, and had their guns and flashlight out because the exit was dark, and someone walking up the steps, I guess walking because the elevators weren't fixed, I don't really know, but the police just shot this man in cold blood. I want to talk to you about how you're raising your children to be street smart as opposed to book smart. I want to talk to you about the designs of clothing that young people are wearing now that may or may not be professional when it's time for them to get jobs. So these are some things that I really want to talk to you about. But most of all, I just want to hear from you. I haven't talked to you in a while. And I want to talk to you about women images in media and what do you think the positive and the negative aspects of women in media. Be right back. that was Diana Ross. Now, that's what I'm talking about, being the boss. And I'm going to tell you something. When I was growing up watching television on looking for strong women that maybe could give me some inspiration, it wasn't really a lot of women that I could consider that strong on TV. But there was one or two. That was Julia, a show that Diane Carroll starred in. She reminded me so much of my mom. And then later on, we watched Claire Huxtable. Of course, you know, when I was younger, they had the black exploitation movies where Pam Grier was this strong woman. You know, I loved watching speeches with Angela Davis. And I love listening to music by Nina Simone, Donna Summers, Gladys Knight. So there were a lot of different types of images of women. We had our little role models, but they weren't based on how they looked. It wasn't about selling sex. So when I did get the opportunity in 85 to start doing public broadcasts, I decided that I would be high fashion, fun, sophisticated, sensual, but not tacky. I wanted to be whimsical with an edge. And so that's what I did. And because I modeled at the time, it was easier for me to do that. Unfortunately, today's women do not have those choices. We're going to try and make it so that women are seen in a positive light. As you can hear in the background, I have a dog, and he's in the studio with us. As he always is, because he wants to be heard on the radio. Unfortunately, we don't have that much time for him, but we will honor any other types of conversation. I want to thank you for calling in. Those of you that were able to give me your information off the air, I greatly appreciate it. Tune in next week. Please check out The Real Ladies of Harlem at futurenetworkproductions.com, and if you're interested in advertising on our show, please email me. Thank you very much.
I got a big ego, ha ha ha. Such a big ego, I got a big ego. She love my big ego, so stroke my big ego. I like to joke around a little bit, but here we go. Welcome to the wonderful world of gold plated Earl, cause everything I throw up, blow up. Talking to the girl, she said, know what? Grow up, you nasty. I don't understand why they tripping if you ask me. Flow just the nicest. I admit the propane I just spit probably just raised the gas prices. Everybody in the club trying to get as fresh as me. What you want?